Welcome to the Father's Vineyard Audio Podcast. Here is today's message.
Amen. Amen. Are you glad to be here? Turn to somebody and say, I'm glad you're here. Amen. Amen. It's good to be together. Amen. It's pretty awesome. It really is. Last Sunday was pretty special, don't you think? And to be honest with you, I think every Sunday is pretty special. It was different last Sunday. We did a podcast of the pastors. We didn't include Austin in this one because he wasn't in the service, but he'll be included on the other ones. But we sort of did a podcast of thoughts about what happened last Sunday and what the Lord was doing, and we just really wanted to share that with you. It's online. You can go online and see the podcast that we did. And us-ins are not used to podcasts. When I say us-ins, I'm talking about me and Pastor Charlie and Pastor John. Pastor Terry's got it all together, you know, but he sort of guided us through it, you know, and not be too nervous before all the cameras and all that kind of stuff. But he did a great job of hosting that for us. And I hope you go back and listen to it, because I think some very treasured things were spoken, and it'll help us understand when the Lord, by His Spirit, does things that are unusual. And the unusual things are the things that sort of take us back and put us in a state of being in awe. And we need more of that as far as being in awe of Him. And not just to say that every service needs to be that way. I'm not saying that, because we just need to let Him lead. And somebody asked me last Sunday, said, well, let's do that again next Sunday. And I said, I didn't do it this Sunday, and I'm not going to do it next Sunday. You know, so when the Spirit of God does that, we just let that happen. And that's the reason I wasn't going to touch it last Sunday. I was going to let the Lord do what He wanted to do. He can do more in just a moment than it'll take years for us. We also had this thing about doors. Come and knock. You know, come and knock. And many, about half the church came and knocked, you know, saying that, you know, you sought me, you asked of me, but what you need to do now is knock and I'll open the door. How many had a door to open for you this week? I want you to stand up. Stand up. Praise God. He's at work. Let him do it, right? Amen. Amen. Now, those of you that came up and knocked, what do you do? Keep knocking. He's going to open the door for you as well. I want to talk to you this morning. If you'll go to Galatians chapter 5, I want to talk to you a little bit more about walking in the Spirit of God. And how can we do that and what that means. And we just need to learn more about that. Is that true? Oh, let me share this. I'll share this. How many of you remember last Sunday, and I had a word for Joan? Y'all remember that?
Yes.
And anyway, but Joan didn't say anything, and so we just said, okay, you know, I missed it, so we'll just say I missed it and move on. And I'm okay with that, because it's not about me. It's about Him. And if I missed hearing Him, I missed hearing Him. It's okay. But I'm learning, just like everybody else is. I'm learning. Well, just so happened, after the service, I was talking to someone, and another person came up, and she said, I'm really sorry. And I'm like, what happened? You know? And she said, I'm sorry, Pastor, and I really want to ask you to forgive me. And I said, What do I need to forgive you for? She said, I'm Joan. Now, my flesh said, now that would have been real good for me if you'd have come up when we talked about it. But you know, that's how flesh does. Flesh is all about us. But he didn't do it that way. And I had a question for her, but she didn't get it that day. I mean, well, she didn't get it that moment, but just a few moments later, she got a word from one of you guys in the congregation, and that person was telling me about it at lunchtime without knowing that I know who Joan is, and but she didn't. And she was telling me the word that she gave, and I said, who did you give that to? And then she told me, and I said, well, that's Joan. She don't go by that name in the congregation, but that's her name, but she don't go by that name. So she got the word, and it was the same word that she gave her that I had to give her. So when God wants to get a message to you, it's coming. Amen. Whether it's one way or the other, God wants to tell you something. He'll make room and make sure that he tells you. Make sure you get the message. And I just think that's tremendous. See, it's not about validating me at all. I'm not anything. He's everything. Amen. And everything that I have is because of him. Yeah. Everything you have is because of him. So Galatians 5:1 talks about the freedom that we have in Christ. How many of you know that the Holy Spirit is alive on this earth and he is alive in us? So the Holy Spirit is moving in his body. He's moving in his body. And as long as we're obedient, we'll be able to do what the Holy Spirit wants to do. So, but he is moving, and we need to be conscious of the Holy Spirit in our midst, and we need to be keenly aware of his presence no matter where we go. It might not be a tangible presence, but he's present in us. And he may be leading us somewhere to do something for his glory. And we scratch our heads a lot of times saying, you know, this Christian journey can be pretty tough. But our success and failure in this walk hinges upon how obedient we are to the Holy Spirit. We can be very disobedient. And really not give him glory and actually get into a big mess, right? Get in trouble. But see, I said that to someone. Someone said, well, since I've been saved, my life's been trouble. And I said, that's trouble from the world, but not from him. And the Bible says this to you, if you're troubled, if you're being persecuted for righteousness' sake, he tells you to rejoice. Be happy about it. Because the blessing and reward that you'll get will be coming straight from God, not from man. Amen? Amen. So anyway, we want to get into this thing about following the Holy Spirit and understanding how we do that. But it says in Galatians 5:1, it was for freedom that Christ set us free. He set us free, got out of jail, got out of the darkness. And he has set us into light for us to be free and for us to operate in freedom that we have. You know, being out of jail, being out of the prison of darkness, being out of that is one thing. And he's the only one that opens that door for you and I to go through. But once we go through that door, we have more freedom to experience. Yes, he said it is for freedom that Christ set you free. So there's a release from, but there's an enter into a freedom that we don't know about. And that's what he wants us to do. He says, therefore, keep standing firm and do not be subject again to the yoke of slavery. You know what this means? This means that a person can be a Christian and still be yoked to slavery, even though they're set free. The door's been opened, but yet they can still be yoked to slavery. But he said, stand firm. Stand firm in what? In your freedom. The freedom that Christ has given to you by his death, burial, and resurrection, the freedom that came to you is yours. And he said, but do not. He said, I want you to stand in that freedom so that you won't be yoked again in slavery. See, we can have bondage even though we're free people. We can have strongholds even though we're free people. See, that is the freedom that he says, now I set you free to be free of the stronghold. I set you free so you can find freedom in your bondage. I set you free because you can be free of your addiction. I set you free so you could be free of anything that's holding you back. See, it is for freedom that he set you free. And we should continue to stand in it. He goes on and says in verse 13, you're called to freedom. For you are called to freedom, brethren. Only do not turn your freedom into an opportunity to or for the flesh. Everybody here has an opportunity, even though you're free, been set free, and you're operating in certain freedoms in your life. Everybody here has an opportunity to flesh out. Somebody needs to say, I know that's right. Okay, I heard I know that's right the other Sunday after I said I'm in training. Somebody said, I know that's right. I never did find out who that was, but I'm still looking. No, I'm not. But see, the thing is, he says, do not turn your freedom that you have into an opportunity to walk in the flesh. What does that mean? It means every one of us who is free, every one of us, we either choose to follow the Spirit of God or we will follow flesh. Follow the Spirit of God or follow flesh. And he says there's an opportunity. He said, then he says this, but now what is, okay, he says opportunity for the flesh, but what? He gives you what the opposite of that is. Read it. Look at your passage, read it. It says, but through love, serve one another. That's powerful to me. See, I'd like for him to say something else about, okay, don't flesh out. Just do something. Go pray for 40 hours. Go read the Bible for 3 days straight without closing your eyes. I thought it would be something that, no, that's not what he said. He said, but in love, serve one another. Well, we make this thing so hard, but he makes it so simple. He said, don't take your freedom and turn it for an opportunity for the flesh. But love, through love, serve one another. Serve one another. Do you know that being led of the Spirit is serving one another? Amen. When you serve each other, you're walking in the Spirit of God, loving people, caring for them enough to serve them. The King of Kings came, and what did he do? He served the disciples. He washed their feet as a model, as an example. But see, it was him. It was his love for the Lord that he would humble himself, knowing he's the King, knowing he's the Son of God, but yet got on his knees, girded himself with a towel, and begin to pour water on dirty, dusty feet. The King of Kings. Serving. And that's how we should serve. We should serve people with humility and love. He says, for the whole law is filled with one word in the statement, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I know you love yourself. It's very apparent that we love ourselves, right? We pamper ourselves. We do a lot of things, you know, and we make sure that self is satisfied to some degree without being selfish, you know. But he said, love your neighbor as you love yourself. Then he goes on and finishes a part of this passage with this. Okay, don't take my freedom as an opportunity to get my way. Love and serve each other. And then he goes on and says, I should love my neighbor like I love myself. And then he says this, but if you bite and devour one another, take care, take heed, lest you be consumed by one another. He's talking to Christians. That's a good time to say, uh-oh. He's talking to Christians. He's talking to us. Follow the Spirit of God. Serve one another. Don't turn it into an opportunity to get what you want. And he says, and don't bite and devour one another. And take note that if you do, you'll be consumed. Take heed. If that happens, continues to happen in your life, you'll be consumed. Now, I looked at this thing and just studied it a little deeper. The opportunity, he said, don't let your freedom turn to an opportunity of flesh. The opportunity means a base of operations that we give Satan to war against the spirit. An opportunity is a base of operations. We give the enemy a base, a camp to be able to operate in your life against the spirit of God. So that's what he's saying. Don't turn your freedom into that. Every time you try to please yourself, you have a base of operations that Satan is using in your life. So in your life, there would be a greater war against the spirit. Because we already know that there's a war, and it's what it talks about, the war against the flesh. The spirit wars against the flesh, and the flesh wars against the spirit. There's a desire. Brother Ed was talking about desires today in Sunday school Bible study. So there's a desire of the spirit that is constantly against the flesh. And then we need to follow the spirit. He said, but there's also a desire of the flesh that is constantly against. It's there already. But when we give it an opportunity, when we use our freedom to be able to just flesh out and say, I can do this because I'm free. What we've done is built a base camp for the enemy to be able to be stronger in your life against the spirit of God. Against your faith. Against anything that God wants to do in your life. Now, that sounds a little bit more serious than opportunity. Now I see, okay, this is the baseline that if I'm not careful and I start using my freedom to act in the flesh and try to justify it as God, but yet it's actually flesh. He said, what I've done is build a base camp. And the enemy can use that base camp to be able to use me, my thoughts, my words, my attitudes, whatever, use me to get stronger, let him be stronger in my life against the Spirit of God. So let's don't give him those opportunities, right? And then he says, if you bite. Now, what is this thing about biting? Don't be walking up and biting people on the arm. Just don't do that. Just don't do that. Just don't do it. That's not what he means, he said. It means you have an ill will toward someone. Ill will toward someone. And you use cutting words that wound the soul that causes them to not reach their purpose. That's all in that one word, bite. It is ill will towards someone that you use a word or words that are cutting to the soul, to their feelings, to their emotions, their mind and their will and their emotions. In other words, the words cut them to the place that it causes them not to be able to reach their purpose in life. Think about that. Biting someone that way, you hinder their growth in Christ. So that's what I said, don't do that. What if I have ill will toward someone? I'm waiting. Go make it right. Go make it right. You may need to go to God. I know you need to go to God. And then you may need to go to them. That's too hard. Well, go ahead and bite. And what you'll be doing is the enemy will be using you to stop another person's destiny. this thing is so serious about following the Spirit versus following the flesh. And, you know, we've done that in our lives. We've said words that have wounded other people and hurt other people and caused them to shrink back from the things of God and caused them not to reach their purpose forever, how long they're going to stay in that place. Devour means to plunder. It means to bring to waste any good that has been offered. It means to waste what's been offered. So here comes somebody in your life that he's wanting you to actually bless with your words and bless financially or bless whatever, but he wants you to be loving to them and serve them. And they're bringing something that's actually good for you, but you don't like it. Sometimes that's wrapped up in the word truth. Sometimes it's wrapped up into something that, you know, and you know, the Bible tells us that faithful are what? The wounds of a friend. If someone's there telling you the truth, knowing that it might hurt you, they love you deeper than you'll ever know. Now, there's enemies that want to hurt you just to destroy you. But it says, faithful are the wounds of a friend. Somebody that's a true friend will tell you truly what they see. And then when you fight that and you start biting them because of it, we're going to stop them. And it also hinders you from going because you're stuck. So that's devour. What about this word consumes? It means to destroy the community life of church and fellowship. It's to destroy the community life that the church has in fellowship. What does that mean? It means, okay, he said, if you have an opportunity, if you bite, you will steal. The enemy's able to steal. If you devour, he's able to kill. If you consume, he's able to destroy. Steal, kill, destroy. Bite, devour, consume. It's just working with the enemy to fulfill what he wants to do against God. And he's using us sometimes to do that. And we know when we start doing that, we're not following the Spirit of God. We're using our freedom as an opportunity for flesh. That's the reason following, walking in the Spirit is so crucial. See, we surrender to Jesus for our salvation. But sometimes we don't surrender to the leading of the Holy Spirit. I don't want to do that. Lisa did it this morning. She followed. She surrendered to that thing that was inside her that she needed to share. It came to her last night. And she followed the protocol to say, hey, I've got this, and can I share it today? See, the Lord, we want everything to be written down in this book that the Holy Spirit leads us to go do. I got news for you. It isn't. All of this, we can be led by the Holy Spirit to read and to act out and to fulfill and to walk in. But see, there are some things that he tells you, don't go there. I was talking to a pastor one time, and it's been several years ago, and he was saying that God doesn't speak today. And I said, that's interesting. And he said, why is that interesting? And I said, so he didn't lead you to the church that you're pastoring. I said, that's pretty interesting. So you must be self-called. No. And I said, well, he doesn't speak to you. So how did you get there? Oh, you must be man called. Come to find out, he really believed God does speak today. And it's true. God does speak today. And he leads us by his Spirit. One of the things we need to do in our lives is become keenly aware of the Holy Spirit dwelling inside us. Not outside, inside. No, He is everywhere, but inside. If I'm going to be led by Him, I'm going to have to listen. I'm going to have to study so I can make sure that it is the Spirit of God. Are y'all with me? So we begin to see that, but God, you know, the best thing you need to know that God sends us people to test us where we are in His leading. Are you following the Spirit of God? He will send you people to test that out. To measure if you're walking in the Spirit or not. Why? If you really need to love, how many of you need to know or learn more about loving people unconditionally? Raise your hand real high. Come on. No. Well, you know what God's going to send you? Unlovable people. Turn to your neighbor and say, I know that's right. If you need patience, guess what He's going to do? He's going to slow the traffic down. He's going to make the line that you're in a lot longer. And as soon as you said, I'm fixing this myself, I'm leaving this 8 people line and I'm getting over here in the line that's only got 4. And then you wait there a few minutes and you hear this.
We need assistance on all 4.
Where you were has been gone for a while. I know that's right. But see, that's the way of life. See, that's the way of life with God. God will show us where we are in our walk. And it's never to condemn you. It's never to shame you. It's never to do any of that. I forgot what sculptor it was that had this big block of granite, and he was chiseling away, and somebody walked up to him and asked him, what are you chiseling out? What are you carving out? I said, what are you making? He said, I'm making a Trojan horse. Well, how do you do that? I mean, how do you do a Trojan horse out of a block of granite? I chip away everything that doesn't look like a Trojan horse. I know that's right. Why? What's he doing? He said, we're supposed to be Christ-like. So what is he doing? Sending people, sending circumstances, and he's chipping away at what? In you. What's he chipping away at? Everything that doesn't look like Jesus. In the flesh, I almost said something. And in some cases, he's going to be there a while. But see, one of the things that he says in Ephesians 4, it says this, I urge you to walk in a manner worthy of your calling to which you have been called. There's a walk that comes with your calling. There's a walk that comes with your salvation. No, I'm going to sit. Well, you can sit and be a sitting, saved person. But you won't experience the freedom that he wants you to experience out here. And he won't be able to use you completely because you're sitting and not walking. But he says, walk in a worthy manner of your calling that you've been called with humility, gentleness, patience, bearing one another in love. Then he says this, Be eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. One translation said, endeavor, work hard at keeping the unity of the Spirit, which is the bond of peace. There's a passion inside us, should be a passion inside us, that if there's a conflict and there's a division, there's a passion that should be inside us to make resolution, to bring a resolution to that division. Should be something that I would work to make sure that the Spirit of God, that there's nothing between us. That's what Jonathan and David had in their covenant with each other. And I bet Jonathan told David, only the Lord be between us. Only the Lord. Nothing else going to be between us. Only the Lord be between us. If we was to capture that and let that be in our life and in our heart, I'm telling you, we would accelerate the capacity of our reachability to other people. Only the Lord be between us. Then he goes on and he says this. He said, but walk in 16, verse 16, Galatians 5, 16, but walk in the Spirit and you will not carry out the lust of the flesh. Walk in the Spirit and you will not carry out. Walk in the Spirit and you will not carry out the lust of the flesh. How is it that I'm not going to carry out the lust of the flesh? What does the Bible say? Walk in the Spirit. Be conscious of the Spirit of God in you and walk in Him. This one, he says, the flesh sets its desire against the Spirit and the Spirit against the flesh. They're in opposition one to the other, so that you may not do the things that you please. So it's the, which one will we follow? This world today needs Christians that are following, walking with God, following the Spirit of God in such a way that we can spontaneously do things that He wants us to do when He speaks to us right then. He said, and when you're led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. When you're walking the Spirit, there is no consequences of law concerning the law of God. Because you're walking in the Spirit and you're walking in grace. You know, we look at this, and I've got to close. We're looking at this, and we say, you know, Pastor, I'm really not. I've messed up so many times. I know that's right. We have. We've messed up. We're not perfect people. We are being perfected as we walk. We're not perfect, but see. Romans 8:1 says, therefore now there is no, how much? None. No condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Now, in some Bibles, it says those which do not walk after the flesh, but walk after the Spirit. And that should be italicized. It should be crooked. Why is that? It's not in the original. That last part is not in the original. In the original context, or the manuscript, in the original, it says, therefore there's now no condemnation in those who are in Christ Jesus. So if you are in Christ Jesus, you have no condemnation. God has already taken your judgment. God has already taken your penalty. Jesus has already he's died for you. He's justified you. He has made you clean. He has made you whole. He has made you justified, just as if you had never sinned before God. That's His work. That's His work. So get you a Bible that has italicized words in it, because those are the ones that the translators inserted, thinking they're making better sense out of what's being read. So you can actually take the italicized word out and not do harm to the Word of God. See, it was the writers who were inspired, not the translators. Okay, well, just a little thing to think about. So here you go. He said, therefore, those who are in Christ Jesus, there is no condemnation. Now there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. That is good news. Even when we miss it, there's no condemnation. Because you're in Christ. He's in you. Romans 14 says, those that are led by the Spirit of God are what? The sons of God. He didn't say children. He didn't say little ones. He said sons, which means mature ones, which means that those who are being led, those who are continually being led by the Spirit of God will become mature children, will be grown up, will be growing up in maturity in Him. Those who are being led by the children, by the Spirit, will be called the children, the sons of God. I'm all over the place. I'm beside myself. Those who are being led by the Spirit of God will be called the sons of God. Do you want to be called a mature one of God? Do you want to be called someone who is really grown up in the things of God? Or do you want to be just said, well, they're little, they haven't grown up yet? That's the reason he said we can call him Abba, Papa, Daddy. But it didn't stop there. He said we call him Abba, Father. We don't call, yeah, he's always our Papa, but when we start to grow, we call him Father. The growing part, that is what the all creation is waiting to see, crying to see, crying out to see. All of creation is crying out to see the manifestations of the sons of God. All creation is just crying to see us grow up to become like Him. Not just get saved. Because it didn't say they're crying out to see the children of God. He didn't say that. He said they're crying out. Creation is moaning and groaning to see us grow up and become mature. So when things do come our way, we follow the Spirit anyway and not follow our flesh. Circumstances come. We follow the Spirit of God anyway. Even though something happens, we follow the Spirit anyway. That's growing up. Growing up to be that. So the manifestation of it, how's it going to be manifested? Through us. Through the church. Growing up. That people's words doesn't send us. People's actions doesn't send us. Oh, I've got a right to defend myself. I've got word for you. You are not your own. You do not even belong to yourself. You belong to Him. You are not your own. That's what the Bible says. You're no longer your own. You've been bought. You've been purchased. You belong to Him. Now, I'm not talking about if something happens, you naturally, you're going to defend your family, defend your... But that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about somebody says this, said that, and they attack you because you're a Christian, or they make you feel bad. You know, that's the reason. Do not rail back when somebody rails at you. When somebody's evil toward you, don't give evil back. What does he say to do? No, for us, what should we do? Bless them. And I don't mean to be southern and say, bless their heart. I'm about to tell them something that they ain't never heard. Bless their heart. And when I get through talking with them, they're going to know where I stand on this. And if you add it to that, they might not know where God stands on it, but they're going to know where you stand on it. I'm messing with you, I really am. But see, the truth hurts sometimes, but what he's after is for us to follow him every moment of every day. And he's forever present with us. We have to raise the awareness that he's in me. And he's in me to lead me. He's in me to guide me. He's in me to teach me. He's in me to show me the ways of God. See, we can know the word of God and not understand the way of God. Well, outside these doors are all those people I told you about. And he's going to be sending you to somebody today that may not be lovable. But he may be sending somebody to you that needs serving, that needs a word from the living God that's going to turn their life around. No matter where you go, the opportunity for you to walk in the flesh is there. But also the opportunity to walk by the Spirit is there. This day and every moment, we shall choose. And we should choose to remain in the Spirit of God. Don't be quick to answer. Sometimes you just, right on the tip of your tongue, you know you're about to say something, and then all of a sudden, you just feel this, you shouldn't, and then you don't. See, saying things is like squeezing toothpaste. You'll never get it back in the tube. There it is in front of everybody. You can try to scoop it up and push it back, but it ain't going back in. So be careful what we say. Follow the Spirit of God, and you will be used beyond your wildest imagination in the smallest of things. And in the grand theme of things, you'll be able to be used of God at the very moment that he calls upon you. Walk in the Spirit. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Let's stand. If you do not know him, now is the best time for you to come today. And say, I need to surrender my life to God. If that's you, just step out now and come down, and Brother Doug will be here to lead you to the Lord. If you do not know him, just come. And maybe you just want to say, I really need a fresh start in aligning with the Spirit of God today. I need that fresh start, and I want that today. He is willing to give you that. And God bless y'all. God bless y'all. Praise God. He's willing to give you that fresh start. And if you want that fresh start, you don't have to come down. Just if you want, I said, I want a fresh start in walking in the Spirit of God, walking in the Word that was told me today. I want to be able to walk in the Holy Spirit and to impact people's lives with the words of God. I want a fresh start in that today. Just raise your hand wherever you are. Father, you see the hands, let's keep them lifted. You see all of our hands, God, that this is where we're at, Lord. This is where we are. But we're wanting to move forward. We're wanting to move higher. We're wanting to move in a greater state of activity and behavior, and a greater sensitivity of hearing your Spirit and walking in your Spirit. And we ask you now, Lord, to deposit that inside us today, that we will be more sensitive to your voice, to your presence, in all of our behavior, in all of our words, in all of our activities, Lord, that we would give you glory, and that we would one day as we learn how to do this, we will one day be called by other people sons of God, because we're being led by you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen. You're at liberty to go. Please, if you don't mind, say some prayers as you leave for these two that has come down for salvation. And we'll see you Wednesday.
Thank you for listening to the Father's Vineyard podcast. If you'd like more information about Father's Vineyard, please visit us 24/7 at www.fathersvineyard.org, or you can call the office at 828-287-2868. Thanks again.